This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Excellent, good. That was three of you, and you guys are good, and I'm good with the three of you, and that's awesome. No, I'm teasing, kidding. First of all, I just want to say that 2 weeks ago, Britt was here. Last week, Pastor Bobby. This week, it's me. Hal is coming back. So if there's anybody that was just like, what in the world is going on? The real deal will be back next week, and so I encourage you to make sure that you're here next week. Pastor Hal is taking some time off. He and Dawn and traveled and saw grandkids and I'm sure mowed lawn and did stuff like that and just relaxed and rested. I'm sure it was fruitful, but he's got another week going on, getting ready then to come back next Sunday. So please continue to pray for him, pray for them. It is good for them to get away and to just take some time to relax and recoup. It is a big deal, spiritually speaking, and I don't say that to minimize what any of us do in here at all, but it is a big deal to not only run a church in the idea of just doing that, but then to, on a regular basis, be spending time in God's Word for himself to be fed, and then to hear from God in order to come and feed the flock. And so it is good for him to get away. I'm excited for him to be back. In fact, let's just take a moment and let's just pray over he and Dawn and the remainder of these few days before they get back into the swing of things, and he'll be back next Sunday. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up our shepherd. We thank you for giving him and his wife to us. We appreciate that. We appreciate him. We appreciate them. And Lord, I'm believing that this has been a very productive time, relaxing, of course, and refreshing, but also fruitful time for them. And I pray that continuation over the next few days as they get ready to come back into the regular dues and whatever is that go on concerning a church. Father, I speak your truth, your knowledge over both of them, your protection as our shepherding family, if you will. We speak that over them in the remainder of this year, 2021. In your name I pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So I am going to continue on with the series that we have been working on, Endless Possibilities. I know that Britt 2 weeks ago got to say the word circumcision a lot, which is really super cool. And, you know, I teach middle school Bible, which is amazing because when I say that, I get to tell them to then go home and ask their parents what that means if they don't know. And then, of course, Pastor Bobby last week got to talk about the sacrifice of Isaac and how that was the foreshadowing of Christ and all of that kind of stuff and the provision, Jehovah Jireh, the provision of the ram. Good stuff. And today I'm going to be talking out of Genesis chapter 24 and the servant being sent to find Rebekah, the matriarch of a nation. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I do not take lightly what I'm about to undertake over the next 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so. And that is the idea, and hopefully the success of speaking your truth, your word to those who are here. So Lord, I pray over myself, my words, what I'll be speaking. Lord, I pray that if I go off in an area that you don't want me to, Lord, that I will quickly come back to what you want. And anything that I might say that is of me, Lord, I pray that it would fall on deaf ears. Father, I do pray over those sitting here, those getting ready to come for second service. I pray over their hearts, that they would be soft, that they would hear what you would have them to hear. Lord, I am very strong in my belief that each one of us is a temple of your presence, of your spirit, And therefore, when our spirit unites with your spirit, truth is taught, and the truth that we know sets us free. And so, Lord, I claim that today. Over this congregation, this service, the next service as well. And I pray that it would not just be in this moment, but that it would continue on through the day today and into tomorrow and into this coming week, that your spirit would continue to minister, helping us to learn to know and then empowering us to do what you've called us to do. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Does everyone have notes? Does everyone have notes? If you don't, please raise your hand. I have my lovely assistant, Vanna, coming around and handing them out, otherwise known as Mac. I'm going to do my best to stay in front of this camera here. That's what you all get for coming to first service. Second service, I don't have to worry about that camera, and I get to run all over the place. And oh, here comes my other lovely assistant, Joe, handing them out. For those of you that have heard me preach or watched me preach, I guess you know that it's hard for me to stay in one spot. I love to not only move around on the stage, but be down and all that kind of stuff. I'm a teacher at heart. For those of you that don't know, I teach middle school Bible. I think I already mentioned that. And amongst other things at Hernando Christian Academy. But let's dive in. Let's dive into Genesis chapter 24. When my dad passed away 8 years ago now, something like that, when my dad passed away, one of his very closest, deepest specialists, very special friends came up from North Carolina to spend some time with us. And I remember him very well. I worked with him for a while, and we did things with their family. And this was one of my dad's closest friends. And he was sitting in the living room with my mom and I maybe a day or two after my dad's passing, and he's talking with us and encouraging us and praying with us and all that really cool stuff. But he says this. He says, "Hey, do you guys know how Norm and I became friends?" That's my dad's name. "Do you guys know how we became friends?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea how you all became friends. How that worked?" And he said, "I was a new believer, and newly at the church that you guys were going to, that your family was at. So I'm a new believer and I'm new at the church. Hadn't been there very long." He said, But I knew who Norm Kaler was. Everybody knew who Norm Kaler was. And if you had known my dad, you would understand. My dad was a bit large personality and, very much in charge. And, that's what he did. And he said, "So I knew full well." He said, "And one day, Norm Kaler walked up to me at church and said, 'You're Dave Criswell.'" And Dave said, yep, that's who I am." And he said, "All right." He said, "My name's Norm Kaler." He said, and Dave said, "And I said to him, I'm very aware of who you are." And he said, "And your dad looked at me like this," and if you knew my dad, this would not surprise you. He said, "Your dad looked at me and went like this: 'The Lord told me that I have to find three new friends, one who's older than me, one who's my same age, and one who's younger than me. And you and I are about the same age, and so you're going to be my friend.'" And Dave said, I went, "Oh, okay, all right." He said, "And your dad turned around and walked away." He said, "And we were friends." He said, "And your dad was a wonderful friend. Your dad helped me through a ton of stuff, and I hope that I was able to then give into his life." And he said, "He certainly mentored me in my early Christianity." And he said, "And we were then friends." And then I was like, "Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly remember how close you two were." You see, not only had my dad listened to the Lord, because I'm very confident that he believed, and I'm sure God did say, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to have three. I want you to find three new friends, one who's older than you, one who's your age, and one who's younger than you, and I want you to chase those relationships." Not only did my dad listen to the Lord, but my dad deeply believed in the power of relationships. Thus the theme in your notes, right there at the top, well, not right at the top, but just underneath the top, is the theme for today's message. In God's kingdom, it all comes down to relationships. Listen, I know relationships are hard. Relationships stink. Relationships are difficult. I understand that. I understand it is much easier to not really have relationships, to be very surfacey, and you know, and we live in a day and age when everything can be texted and ordered online and all of that kind of stuff, and we can now work from home and all of that kind of stuff. I am telling you that by no means does our society today give us the right to not be in and pursue and deeply get involved in relationships, because that's what God is all about, is relationships. I understand. I understand, quite frankly, I understand that the majority of us don't really want to know other people's junk, and we sure don't want people knowing our junk. I know that. That means it's hard. That means it's tough. That means that you're going to risk. That means you're going to get hurt. If you want to lock your heart up in some box somewhere and get to heaven and say, okay, here's my heart, it's perfectly good, I think that God's going to go, yeah, you know what, that's not really how it works. You see, because God laid everything on the line when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to build relationships, to chase people, to pursue people, to know people. I don't call you servants any longer. I call you friends. And then those friends desert him, and the people who aren't his friends nail him to a tree. Jesus came to demonstrate the perfect relation of love. He came to this earth to show us how it's done between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I and the Father are one. I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. And the Father is saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. I love him. This is my boy. And Jesus came to demonstrate that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, then, God chooses us and brings us into a restored relationship with him. Through his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are brought in, we are reconciled with our Creator, we are restored into a relationship with God. Unconditional love, unconditional kindness, unconditional pursuant, unconditional goodness. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun rises on the good and the evil. It is a God who is passionate about relationship. I don't mean to say this and make anybody be like, oh my gosh, that doesn't sound very good. But you understand, right, that he didn't necessarily need us in relationship. He and the Son and the Spirit are in perfect relationship. And yet he chases us down. And yes, of course, he does that so that we are in relationship with him. But he does that, he demonstrates that, he chases that with us so that then we will pursue each other. Amen. That we will be in relationship. That we will be willing to risk. Because when it comes down to it, in the end, as often as we might get hurt or whatever that means, or this, that, or the other, or we don't get hurt until the end, and maybe that person that we loved and were in relationship with has gone on and passed on, and now we really hurt and we're alone, all those types of things. The bottom line is, and I don't mean to say this to diminish anybody's whatevers, the bottom line though is this relationship with Jesus is what matters. He is the constant. He is the one who is healing us and restoring us and taking us into eternity. I know there are plenty of us, or all of us, who say, yeah, but you don't know the hurt that I felt in that particular relationship, or I'm feeling right now, or the loneliness that I feel because this relationship is no more, and so on and so forth. I understand that. I don't mean to minimize all those, but it is the relationship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and us being drawn into that relationship that sustains us. Which is why Pastor Bobby last week centered my thinking coming into, he was in Genesis 22, I am going to be in Genesis 24. That Pastor Bobby helped to center my thinking yesterday out of last week's message was this one point where he said, remember, name at the top of the test, your name's at the top of the test. Abraham had to keep remembering who he was. Abraham wasn't Abraham because of what Abraham did. Abraham was Abraham because of what God was doing. Who he was in the Lord. The idea that all of our relationships spawn out of, grow out of, by relationship, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean that we don't ache. It doesn't mean, I mean, we're humans. We watched Jesus weep, did we not? Genesis chapter 24 is a long passage. I'm not reading it all. It would take forever. Well, that was ridiculous. I don't even know why I said that. It will not take forever, but it will take a long time, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to focus on three different parts of Genesis 24. I'm going to talk about a relationship in Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, which then lead down into the relationship, all capital letters, the relationship that we find in Genesis 24, 12 through 14, and 26 and 27. And you'll see those. It says that they're in the, how did I write it? Text. It is this idea that God, the sovereign God of the universe, through his servant Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation, through his servant Abraham, through Abraham's servant, are going to together, in relationship, carry out the fulfilling of the promise. Let's read Genesis chapter 24. Verses 1 through 4. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his entire household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. I don't know if they like didn't have enough teeth or whatever he did. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac, the son of promise. I know. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that I often have gotten the wrong impression when I read this passage, these four verses, and there's this idea of the servant. You see, we can't think of this guy as just one of the servants that kind of stands off to the side and nobody notices him. And, you know, the servants that go around and everything, you know, they make sure they don't disrupt the flow of the family. We can't think of this guy in this way. This guy is in charge of everything Abraham has. He is the estate manager. He is the elder of the home. He is the minister of the house. Just to put it in perspective for you, in chapter 22 where Bobby was last week, Isaac being sacrificed, all that is probably in his mid-teens. By the time we get to 24 verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Isaac is probably about 40 years old. That is the time difference between these two chapters. This servant has been in the picture before Isaac, even before Ishmael. This servant has been in the picture with Abraham for probably 60 plus years. This guy and Abraham, they're friends. There's a relationship here. I would argue, and I don't have any real reason to argue this, so take this as you will, that I think that this servant may even been a part, at some level, may have been a part of Abraham's family. This is probably the guy that Abraham trusts the most on the entire planet Earth. Regardless of whatever, is he's highly trusted, so much so that he's been chosen to go and pick a wife for the promised son. To pick a wife, the matriarch of a nation, she will become the mama to the nation Israel. The stakes are high. This is complete trust on Abraham's part. He's picking his most trusted advisor, maybe, I would argue, his best friend, to go and find a wife. They are one in their pursuit. This servant has literally become the master. God is using the servant to carry out his plan. It is endless possibilities. Those possibilities come into being, I believe, built out of relationships. This relationship, Abraham and his servant, leads us to look and then to the relationship of Genesis chapter 24, 12 through 14, and ultimately verses 26 and 27. So now let's go ahead, let's move down into those two, let's read those two passages, and we'll dive into getting your blanks filled out. Genesis chapter 24, verse number 12. Now this is the servant reading, not reading, I'm reading. The servant's actually praying this. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, he prayed, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. I am standing here beside this spring, O Lord. The young women of the town are coming out to draw the water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. And if she says yes, have a drink, and I will also water your camels, let her be the one that you have selected for Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. Let's move then down to 26 and 27. 26 and 27, Rebekah is the one. She's come, she's poured the water, and so here is the servant now praying again, and the man, the servant, bowed low down onto the ground and worshiped the Lord. Praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, he said. The Lord has shown unfailing love, unfailing faithfulness to my master. He has led me straight to my master's relatives. Number one in your notes. We're going to break down out of verse number 12. We're going to break down this prayer, this relational prayer, understanding that when he says, God of my master, he's literally, he and the master, they're friends. They're moving as one to find this woman, this bride. Number one in your notes. Praise is your first blank. Lord is your second blank. Praise the Lord. You know, we saw back in verse number 1 that the Lord had blessed Abraham. That's what we read back in 24:1. He blessed Abraham in every way. So the servant, the minister of the house, Abraham's most trusted advisor, his friend, recognizes that his direction and his success are wholly attributed to the Lord. And so he begins basically by praising him. Lord! Lord! I don't know how many of you are mourning people. I'm a mourning person. But I want to put this out to you. Are you getting up every single morning with praise on your lips, where before you potentially your feet even hit the ground, or they hit the ground, and you're just like, Lord, Lord, and not like this, Lord, oh, not like that. Where you are praising him. You are looking back over the previous day and you are seeing that the direction you took, the successes that you have, the blessings that you have received come from him. And like in this moment where he's getting ready to pick the matriarch, the bride for his master's son, he's looking ahead and he's saying, you, Lord, I'm praising you. You are the one who gives me direction. It gives me success. And I can reflect back because I know that you've done this for Abraham. You're in relationship with him. I don't want you to turn here. I'm going to read very quickly out of Isaiah chapter 45. Do not get there or whatever. If you want to write down in your notes, write down just right next to this in Isaiah 45, 1 through 4. But Isaiah says it this way. The Lord says, this is what the Lord is saying. I will hold your right hand. I will open doors for you. I will go before you. I will create breakthroughs for you. I will break down the gates for you so that you will know that I am the Lord. I will do this for my servants. Amen. I want to encourage you that the first thing in the morning you do when you hit the floor with your feet is to open up with praise. Lord, 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 Lord. Lord, 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 I'm praising you. I'm recognizing who you are. I'm recognizing what you did for me yesterday, the days before that, and I recognize what's going to go on today and into tomorrow. It is because of you that I am directed and have success. Number two in your notes. We're moving on in the prayer. So that was the very first part of the prayer. Verse number 12, Lord, comma. And so here's your next two ones. This is where he fears, so that's your first verse, fears God. So fear God. Fear the God of my master Abraham. And I know this is where it gets, and you're like, does he not know who he's talking to? I mean, you know, he's talking about, you know, Abraham's God. You know, hey, the God of that guy. That's the point I'm trying to make, is I don't believe that at all. I think he's praying as he and Abraham are one in this. They are best friends. This relationship is deep. He and the servant. The servant has been sent to find Isaac's bride. I know for a fact, and this is something that has been dwelling, I've been dwelling on in the last few months, and potentially for years, but certainly the last few months, is this idea that I, on a regular basis, I do not enough, come even close probably, do not take serious enough the fear and awe of the God of the universe. Have you ever been in God's presence and that overwhelmedness just strikes you, even for just a moment? I believe that, quite frankly, we ought to be there on a regular basis. Where the God of the universe, the sovereign God of the universe, wants to be in relationship with me. He wants to know me. He wants to talk with me. Amen. He's pursuing me. I haven't had to climb every mountain and swim every sea and all these types of stuff to get to him. I just got to kind of turn around, and here is the Creator God of the universe with his arms open saying, man, I love you. Man, you're awesome. Man, you're incredible. Can we sit and chat for a while? I just want to look at you. I want to be with you. This is a relationship between the Creator of the sovereign God of the universe and Abraham. God of my master Abraham. This is not lost on this servant. This human Abraham has been chosen by Creator God to be the father of a nation, of God's nation, the nation of Israel. The servant gets that. He understands the severity and the depth of relationship that is going on there. It is out of this nation that Jesus will come. Now, we know that. Obviously, the servant and Abraham don't understand that. I'm sure they yearned in their hearts to know that. That's what the Bible says. The overarching story of God is not lost on this man, the servant, because he's in relationship with Abraham, and together they're in relationship with God the Father. This story is not lost on this man. And this is the story. That God is driven by relationships. This man takes God's presence very seriously. I would ask you, how serious do we take the presence of God? I will say to you straight up, I do not take it serious enough. I am not going to point one finger out at any of you. I don't have any idea. I can only speak from my own experience. I do not take the severity, the fear, the awe of the Almighty God wanting to be in relationship with me serious enough, often enough. God is wanting to love on you and direct you and listen to you and bless you and heal you. Does it potentially make sense for even one moment then to be able to see how the enemy works overtime to destroy relationships? To break them down? To help us get offended? To help us get hurt? To help us lash out at each other? Whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's siblings, whether it's co-workers, whether it's people who have been friends for a long time and this, that, and the other. Parents to children. I love in the Psalms when David says this. He, meaning the sovereign God of the universe. You ready? David says this in the book of Psalms. He says, he bends down and listens to me. When I work with kids, especially little kids, when I'm teaching soccer or doing whatever, you know what I try to do on a regular basis is this right here. And listen to them. Not because I'm great, not because I'm amazing, not because I've worked with kids for so many years and there's just something in me, and there's something then in that child when that big person kneels down and looks the child right in the eyes and says, I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. What's going on? How can I help? What can I do? And that's how I envision when David in the Psalm says, he bends down and listens to me. This is the Creator God of the universe. And he takes a moment and pulls up his jeans a little bit like this, and he kneels down and he says, hey, what's going on? What's up? Let's talk. I want to look you right in the eye. I want to know you. And I want to be known by you. Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham. Number three. The next part of verse number 12. Number three, please help me. This is the petition. That's your first blank. This is the petition. Please help, grant, allow me. Petition, please help, grant, allow me. Those are your blanks. This is the recognition that God is in charge. Hey, guess whose story God is writing? Of course ours, right? Of course mine. Huh. Guess whose story he's writing? His. That's whose story is being written, is his. It's his story. And there's a recognition on the part of this servant in relationship with his master, and thus then relationship with the Creator God of the universe. He is saying, I'm petitioning you, please help me, please grant me, please allow me to find this spouse for Isaac. This is his kingdom. This is his will being done. You see, this goes back again into Pastor Bobby's message last week. And you're saying, are you just redoing Pastor Bobby's message? Probably, because he's way better than me and cooler for sure. He plays guitar, for goodness sake. And sings. I can't do either. But in chapter 22, it all is coming back to this. Back to 22, where 25 years earlier, there, in chapter 22, there's this old man and this middle teenage boy going up on a mountain, and the boy is saying, hey, where's the sacrifice, Dad? And then they get there, and he's on the altar, and the knife is up, and all this kind of stuff, and the Lord says, stop. And there's the ram in the thicket, and in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, from Pastor Bobby's message last week, Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. Don't you think for one second that on that trip back, and now they're back in camp 3, 4, 5 days later, whatever, that he's not sitting at the campfire with this same servant saying to him, you're not going to believe this. And I had my knife up, and I was ready to put Isaac down, and, you know, and the Lord said, stop. And then there was a ram, and it's, man, and God provided. You know that this servant knows that story. He is finally in tune with that story. He knows that God has already spared this and headed to this. What does your relationship with Jehovah God, the provider, look like? What are your wants and your needs and your desires? Have you laid them down before him? Do you trust him? I know I don't. I know I don't, and I hope you don't have to like, whoa, Jason, you're preaching. You can't say stuff like that. I know I don't. You want to know why? Because I still worry and have anxieties. And if you get nothing else out of this message today, I want you to get this. Turn over on the back of your notes where it's blank and take your pen or your pencil, whatever. And I want you to write this down. The area... And I'll go slow so you can get it. Mr. Klukowski, I see you're not writing. That's wrong. I just told you to. The area that you worry about the most, the area you worry or stress or fret or whatever about the most is the area in which you trust God the least. I don't know about you, but I got a couple areas in my life that, man, I just get anxious about them. The area that I worry about the most is the area in which you trust God the least. Here is this man saying, please help me to find. This is about you, God. You need to help me, which leads to number four then. So here's number four in your notes. Helplessness. Are you willing to admit your helplessness? That's blank number one. Are you willing to admit your helplessness to show, he says, I need you to show your unfailing love, your unfailing faithfulness, and your unfailing kindness. And there are your blanks. Please do this because I'm desiring for you to show me, to show Abraham, to show Isaac. I'm helpless without you. Are you willing to admit that before God in your relationship with him? Can you imagine the overload, the overwhelmingness, the stress that this servant is under? He is finding the matriarch of a nation. And so what he does is he admits his helplessness. God, I need you. Then 26 and 27, number 5 in your notes, 26 and 27. It says that he falls, that Rebekah is found, the camels are watered, and the servant falls down on the ground, kneels on the ground before God, and says, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thanksgiving, number 5, thanksgiving, thankfulness. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be you, O Lord. Because you, O Lord, have been faithful, you have been kind, you have been loving, and you have led me to her. What are the possibilities? With you, it's all possible. Because what you're going to do is you're then going to take this, and you're going to say, God, I need to be in this kind of relationship. Empower me. Help me. Draw me in to where I'm saying, Lord, God of the universe, I need you. This is what's going on. Please show your faithfulness. I'm helpless without you. And then every time those blessings are there, you're thankful. And if you're like, well, I just don't see any blessings right now, well, then write a bunch of blessings from the past. Create a gratitude list. The go and do. the go and do down at the bottom. So we're going to purposefully build our relationships with our Father, our relationship with our Father, through praise, blank number one, through fear, blank number two, through petition, blank number three. By admitting helplessness, blank number four, and being thankful, blank number five. 5 points, five thoughts. And out of this growing and deepening relationship then that we have with the Father, with the God of the universe, with our Lord, then we are going to also be purposeful in the building of our relationship with others. Not out of our own demanding, not out of our own strength, but because we're burrowing down on this prayer. We're saying, God, this is what can be done. Through my relationship with you, coming in line with your kingdom, admitting who you are, then I can chase these other relationships in a healthy way. Heavenly Father, I pray that they would have heard what you needed them to hear. Even if it was only one of the points, I don't know, Lord, whatever. I just pray, Father, that they have heard what you needed them to hear. Lord, I am convinced, not because of anything greater in the moment than has ever been. I think relationships have been under attack for centuries. But I believe it is your priority. I believe that your kingdom is moved through relationships. First and foremost, obviously, our relationship with you that then spills out over into the relationships that we are involved in our families, at our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, with our friends and extended family. We need you. In your name I pray. And everybody said amen and amen. I would ask that if you want to stay and chat and stuff like that you would do that out in the lobby, please. The altar team will be up here if you have needs for health issues. If you have a relational need that you would like to be prayed over for, I would encourage you to do that. And most importantly, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not in relationship with the Heavenly Father, then I would invite you to come and ask one of the altar team workers, and they will absolutely explain to you what that looks like, the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask you if you're ready to come into that relationship, because that relationship will absolutely revolutionize every other relationship that you have. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day and a great week. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.